Turn your Bibles, John 17. We've been talking about the promises of God. Faith is pertaining to the promise. God comes to you from his position. He inhabiteth eternity. He speaks the end from the beginning. He's already finished the work before he begins. He's already finished the promise. He's already inherited your promise. He's sitting at the end of your promise because he inhabited the eternity, but he speaks to where you are. He sends his word to where you are. Where you are is point A. Now, what we've done is we've sat in point A. The issue is that he brings his word over here into point A. And what we do, we try to operate in faith over here. We try to operate in faith in this jurisdiction. This jurisdiction over here is governed by principalities and powers of this world system. It's governed by circumstance and situation. The enemy will barrage you constantly and wear you down if you exercise faith from this position. Because you can spin around in circles speaking. Paul said, I don't beat the air. He weighed the good warfare, but you're going to have to be wise in the way you operate in faith. And so we try to operate in faith and we speak, but we're constantly in circumstantial battles and we don't get any relief from the circumstance because the very thing that God wants you to do is overcome because your graduation is overcoming. Amen. Now we learn to endure hardship, but listen, you can endure hardship for 50 years. And be the same person. You have to overcome to progress in God. To overcome, you're going to overcome what's being thrown at you. But you're not going to win that battle successfully every time if you wage your warfare in the midst of that circumstance. So what we've learned to do by the Spirit of the Lord is we've learned to enter into the Lord. We enter into the holiest of all. We go through the living doorway. He says, I'm the door. If by me any man entereth in, he will go in and out. That's not salvation. You're going in and out of the kingdom or the dwelling place of God. We have to go into the dwelling place. And then he taught us to go like Abraham, which is where the promise dwells. You remember Abraham was wearing a body that was dead and God was commanding him to give life from a dead body and a dead womb. But he had a commandment that he had to overcome. How would you like that assignment? Body's dead. Sarah's womb is dead. You're dealing with two different people with dead faculties and God is commanding to birth life out of it. Where is he going to get evidence of that promise when he's wearing the very thing that's keeping him from fulfilling the promise? Where is he going to get evidence? He had to escape where he was. He had to escape into the promise. And that's what the Lord's teaching us to do, which we call point B. That's very important to understand. I'm trying to review as fast as I can. As you move into point B, this is the stars, the heaven, the sand of the seashore. This is your promise. When God speaks from this position, he sends a word, and his word is spirit and life. Proverbs 4 said it's spirit and life to those who what? Find them. Say, find them. When God speaks a promise, it's not just a dead promise. It's a living promise, and you can actually enter into the promise. From where he spoke it, you can enter into the awareness of it. Say the awareness. The Bible says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being existence. We move into position by awareness, and we've taught you how to do that. We move into the awareness of the promise. You have to see, say see, the promise. It's very hard to see the promise. When you're in the middle of a circumstantial battle in point A and you're wearing a body that cannot produce a promise, you've got to get out of there. You got to move into a dimension from where God spoke and you move into the position of his word. How do I see the word? You don't see him with these eyes. You see by awareness. Very good example. For the next 3 seconds, 5 seconds, I want you to just look around this room. I want you to look at this pulpit. I want you to look at that pulpit. I want you to look at that banner. I want you to look at these walls. I want you to look at my white shirt. Now I want you to close your eyes. Now I want you to become aware. I want you to see that you're in a room without opening your eyes. Can you see the walls over there? You see by awareness. I am aware there's a wall over here. I'm aware there's this big, tall Texas preacher preaching to me right now. I'm aware that there is a pulpit. I'm aware that I'm inside a room. Are you aware that you're inside or outside? So if you're inside, you can see that you're inside of something. That's how you see. You see by awareness. Okay, open your eyes. When God speaks, He speaks from a position of a finished work. He speaks from a promise, but He sends a word that's spirit and life. It doesn't always, when it first arrives to you, it's full of spirit, it's full of life, and it's full of faith. And I mean, it puts you on cloud nine with God. I mean, you come out of that thing thinking it's ready to go today, because when that word makes entrance, it comes with the faith of God in it. How many of you ever got a word and the next day you thought for sure God was going to manifest it? Because it came with such velocity and such faith and such power, because He spoke it from another realm. But the longer time goes with you not doing anything with it, that word grows dormant. It grows dormant because you don't know what to do with it. If you try to wage the warfare here, the enemy's going to see to it that he's going to constantly cloud the glory of that word, because you're trying to exercise faith in the enemy's jurisdiction. But if you get out of that by going into where God is, and you go to where that word is, you can move into the dimension of that word, because you have something in you has the capacity to go there. Say, go there. Faith can go there. Like Abraham, faith could reach into the stars of the heaven, the sand, the sea, and dwell in that promise. See, when you're dwelling in the promise, when you get into the living part of that promise, and you start dwelling by awareness, you start forgetting about what the circumstance looks like, and if you do it long enough, and you stay with it, what happens? Faith comes alive over here. Amen? I want to define to you what this place really is. So when God gives you a point B, He has a point C, D, E, F, G. He just likes to start you with something. But He has something way beyond that over here. But if you don't get to this point, you're never going to get to that point. Amen? I'm going to tell you what this place is in the Word. Yesterday was one solid download of heaven. God's moving. God's Word's moving. I implore you to live in the realms of God. It's quite exciting. Praise the Lord. All right, John 17, verse 24. It says, Father, I will. This is Jesus' final prayer, by the way. And He prayed it to the Father. Last prayer He prayed. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me, say, where I am. Now, that's the third time He said where I am. It's actually the fifth time He told the ones that were trying to kill Him, you cannot be with me where I am. But the promises started in chapter 12, chapter 14, and now here in 17. It's the third time He said, where I am, say, where I am, there shall you be also. Now we know where He is was His death, burial, and resurrection into the right hand of God. He says, now, Father, I pray that they be with me now where I am in you. Because He has already moved forward. Talk about fast forward. The Lord hadn't even gone to the cross yet, and He's already talking about where I am. He knew, because He was already dwelling in the finish line. He knew the Father. He knew He was going to be the sacrificial lamb, and He knew the Father was going to come raise Him from the dead, and He knew He was going to be resurrected, and He knew He was going to be the inheritor of the nations, and He was going to, knew He was going to be the appointed heir of the Father. And He knew He was going to be sat down at the right hand of God. And though He hadn't even gone to the cross yet, He's already praying for others to be with Him where He is. And Peter goes, I'll go with you. He said that in chapter 14. He goes, I'll go with you. He goes, Peter, you cannot go with me where I'm going now, but you'll come afterwards. Because you don't want to go the first round, Peter. Only I can do that. That's the cross. That's the sufferings. That's going into the belly of hell. He goes, you don't want to go there. But afterwards, when I'm resurrected, then you'll be with me, Peter. And everybody looks at me. Yeah, when we get, you know, when we get to glory after this life, we'll all be with Him where He is. You have been positionally seated where He is now. As a matter of fact, if we're going to be effective in this life, we're going to have to understand the positional seat now. Where I am. Father, I will. They be with me. Where I am. Then He says that they may what? Behold. Say behold. Behold my glory. Behold my glory. Now, here is the thing about the glory. Everybody has their definition of the glory. Here's the problem with the glory. Everybody has their definition of what they think the glory is. What is the glory? Because if you back up three or four verses later, he said, the glory that you've given me, Father, I've given them that they may be one. So the glory is oneness with God. The glory is communion with God. The glory is intimacy with God. But the glory is a lot more than that. When the glory showed up on Solomon's temple, the whole world came to look at it. When the glory shows up, the glory is all things. It's not just what you think it is. It's what it is. The glory is a seat of the right hand of the Father. When Christ entered in, he became the inheritor and the appointed heir of all things. And the Father said, all that the Father has now is yours. Jesus said it. All that the Father has is mine. Everything the Father gave him as the appointed heir is the glory. It's in the glory. Whether it's a little promise sent to you, a point B, or it's the full Z, where you're zinging for God, it's all the glory. The glory. I'm going to give you a few things of what presently understand the glory to be, which is going to be a lot more than what it is. Behold. Now, here's what the word behold means. Theorio. Theorio. To be a spectator of. To discern. To experience. I like this one too. Intensely acknowledge. Intensely acknowledge. To look upon. To see. You will look upon his glory. You will see his glory. You will be a spectator of his glory. You intensely acknowledge his glory. To do that, you will have to be in his glory. We got to get over the point where we want God's glory to come to us. We got to go to his glory. And then you bring it back with you. That's the problem with churches. God, come to me. God, come to me. God, come to me. He will, but that's visitation. When you go to him, that's habitation. You're going to get a lot more by going to him than waiting on him to come to you. Come unto me, all who labor. Come to the fountain. Where I am, there shall you be also. You got to go to him by a predefined faith of his word that tells you you can be where he is. But where he is, there's some stuff there. It's glorious there. We started talking about this 5 years ago, and it just exploded brand new yesterday. I'm like, God, I don't know anything. The more I know, the less I know. But the more I know, the more glorious it gets. It gets bigger. He just opened my eyes to another level of that seed. I'm like, why didn't I see that last 5 years? Because I want you to see it now. Oh, I said, how much is up here? From glory to glory. To glory, to glory, to glory, to glory. He goes, you must redefine your definition of the glory if you want the glory. Surrender your definition of the glory for a moment. Put it on a shelf because it's a lot bigger than what you think it is. Because if you think the glory is just going into the glory and being clothed in a glory cloud, that's definitely the glory. Right, go into a place of oneness and intimacy and communion, and I get a big drink of God, and I said, I've been in the glory. That's definitely the glory, but it's more than that. The glory is defined by rhema, inspired revelation directly from the Holy Ghost, from the Word. He sends the Word from the glory. If you want to know what the glory is, the Holy Ghost is going to send the Word. Jesus said, all things are mine. The teacher that I'm going to send you, the comfort I'm going to send you, he said he's going to receive of my glory and he's going to show it to you. He's going to take of mine. So Holy Spirit sends a word to where you are so you can go to where that is. Amen? And the glory is big. The right hand of God just got really big yesterday. It's like, I want to live here the rest of my life kind of big. I don't want to live anywhere else kind of big. I don't want to look at anything else. There is more to look at when you're in position with God.
If you want something to look at, get in the midst of His glory. Get seated with Him. I mean, there's so much there, you can't partake of it in an entire lifetime. There's glory there. Say glory. There's glory in the glory. The fullness of all things. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me yesterday. He said, it is the highest realm offered to mankind. The highest realm offered to mankind. See, God will bring gifts, administrations to mankind to administrate here. You can administrate in a gift and not be in the glory. Because God brought a gift from the glory for you to administrate here. If you want the highest realm offered to mankind, you got to go to the glory. Go to the right hand of God where He's seated. He prayed that you be with Him where He is. The Father, I will that they be with me. Well, if it's God's will. I will, Father. I will. Say, I will. That they be with me where I am, that they may behold. Say, behold. Look upon. See. Spectate. Dwell. Inhabit. Sit. Here's some of the glory. It's oneness with God. You're going to need that oneness. It's presence. It's a cloud. It's light. It's the kingdom. The fullness of the kingdom is in the glory. It's divine government. It's dominion. It's inheritance. It's the promised land. And it's your personal promises. All in the glory. How about this? Our God shall what? Supply all of your need according to His riches in the glory. There is riches in the glory. You may not have to access them, but they're there. They're available. Riches in glory, riches of His grace is all the glory. Fullness. It pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness would dwell. Wisdom, power, might, righteousness, peace, love, joy, kingship. Oh, now we're going to get into some things about the glory. He sits as a king. You sit as a joint heir in the glory. That's why He said, my glory, Father, I pray they be one with us. Well, I can be one in fellowship. How about being one in His kingship? He's the appointed heir of all things. He's the king. He inherited the earth and all of its resources. He sits in the right hand of God as a king. And the Bible says you've been made a joint heir with Him. Say joint heir. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we were raised, say raised, together. You weren't just raised up there. You were raised together. When He was resurrected, you were positionally resurrected and given the positional seat as joint heir. As a king. You know you can sit as a king? The Lord pulled me and He sat me down in this seat. He goes, this is the seat of creative miracles. He said, a lot of people are trying to figure out how to operate in that realm. God will send the gift realm, but that's not the one we're talking about. The gift realm always has limitations. But there's another realm where the Lord said you can operate like me. The works that I do, you will do also. But if you're going to operate like Him, you got to operate in the glory because He operated in the glory of the Father. We operate in His glory. It's a whole different operation. It's an operation with anointing without measure versus a limited operation. Kingship, joint heirship, apostleship, priestly office, wealth, riches, abundance, increase, divine multiplication. All of this and more is in the glory. Now here's what happens. When you go into the glory, you might, but how many of you have ever been caught up in the glory? Okay, you go in the glory. You experience the glory in accordance to the revelation you have of the glory. If your revelation of the glory is being in the glory and being surrounded in His presence and maybe being in a cloud, then that's what you get. Or oneness, intimacy, fellowship, that's what you get. You get what's your understanding or present vision of the glory is. So what happens, that is your definition of the glory, that's your compass. So every time you get in the glory, you get the same thing. It's glorious, but you're getting the same thing. Because that's your definition of what the glory is. That's your predefined understanding of the glory. That's what your compass is. You're always going to go in the spirit with what your compass is. I'm going to tell you how to broaden the glory. I'm going to tell you how to stretch forth the curtains of the habitation over here. I'm going to tell you how to see the panoramic of the glory. You have to lay down. What about when he said, Father, I will that they be one with us. I've given them my glory you gave me, Father. I've shared it. He shared his glory. His glory is his position. There's dominion there. He shares that position with you. What about him being a king? Can you enter into the king's seat with him? Can you sit down in that seat? Can you be clothed in that seat? Your revelation of the glory is going up in worship and being covered in his presence. So when I start talking about being sitting in a king's seat, being transformed into his image, we all beholding him as a mirror are changing the same image from glory to glory. Same 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'll read this scripture to you. I want you to see this. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory. So when we see that, where do we go? I want to be changed into your likeness. I want to be changed into your love. We go to love most of the time. Well, I want to be changed into your grace. I want to be changed into peace. I want to be changed into the sweet character that you have, the sweet nature that you have. I want to be changed. That's good. And that's part of the glory. Because that's the part you see. What about the other image? What other image is there? What about the image of an apostle? What about the image of a king? What about the image of the one who's restored all dominion in the earth? What about that image? What about the one that walked the earth? The image of the one that walked the earth had authority over sickness, infirmity, disease, and walked upon water and commanded the waves and the seas, and he had authority in the earth. What about that one's image? Being changed into that image. Changed into that likeness. You get what you see. But the Holy Spirit, go to John 16 for a minute. You know these promises we're talking about inhabiting? Point B, are you ready for this? Point B, we're talking about coming out from where you are, entering into the promise. Jesus dwells at the end of your promise. He's sitting in point B in his glory. Point B is his glory. The promise he sent you from point B to point A was his glory. He called you to this position of glory so he can take you to that position of glory. He speaks from that finish line. That's the glory. The glory means nothing when you're a carnal flesh creature. I can tell about the glory. Unless it shows up here in this jurisdiction, it'll mean absolutely nothing to you. It'll feel so far from you. Well, I spent all day yesterday in the glory. When I woke up this morning, I'm like, I'm not there. I'm here. And the worst part of it all, it's to the extremes that you go through. Because that realm is so rich and so deep and so full. And there's so much to look at. Because he's everything. He is the promise. Even if he sends you a promise of something tangible in the earth, it's riches in glory. He's sending it there. He is that promise. He's dwelling in glory. The extremes, though, being that caught up and then coming back to the earth. There's a lot of extremes going on. Because all you want to do is like, God, get me back in there. But thank God we know how to go back. So you spend your life living there. Right? I believe he said it like this. I want you to see this in Colossians 3. Colossians 3 verse 1. This is how he said it. If you then be risen with Christ. And now it's very interesting here. That word risen is the same word used in Ephesians 2:6 when you were raised together. Say raised together. If you have been raised together, you got to get some concepts in your belief system. You are a joint heir. You know what people do that don't know anything about God, they hear that and they go to point A and they go try to exercise dominion in the earth through self-sufficiency. That's what they do. They employ self-sufficiency to go exercise dominion in the earth, thinking they're going to go change the world because they know that I'm a joint heir with God. Greater is he that's in me. He's in the world. And they go there and they get whipped and beat up. Or they spin their wheels and beat the air, never get anything done. Because that's not where that originates. Joint heirship does not originate in the earth. Joint heirship originates in the right hand of God. You're a joint heir to the seat that he sits in and all that's in that seat. If you then been raised together, say raised together with Christ, seek those things that what? Are above. Set your affections upon things that are above, not upon the world, for you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. What do you do with those verses? You live in God. Amen? Now, when it comes to identifying what's in this realm, you need revelation. You're going to go up into the glory and you're going to keep getting the same thing every time until you get a revelation. You get centered into your walk. You get focused in. And if you're really good at something in the spirit, you might be a worshiper. And you're good. You know how to just get there. Boom. You know how to do it every time. Amen? When you have a gift of revelation, you just know how to move into that every time. You just move in there. What is your gift is you can move into. You just know how to do that. And you go that same position each time. If you want to blow the lid off of it, you're going to need revelation of what that realm's about. Because you can't move in the realm of glory without revelation. And if you try to move in it, you'll get into the soul. So God sends his Holy Spirit. Now I want you to go to John 16. John 16 verse 13. It said, howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth, speaking of the Holy Spirit, has come, he will, what? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he will speak, and he'll show you things to come. Now, you remember when Moses was in the temple? He went into the tabernacle, then he went up on the mountain of God, and he asked God to show him his glory in Exodus 33, 34. And you remember God, he wrote the law, but he showed him his glory, and he walked back down. His face was shining. His body had the glory on it. And when he got in front of the children of Israel, he had to veil himself because they looked upon that glory and they were afraid of it. So when he spoke to the children of Israel, he had to put a veil on. But when he went into God, the Bible says he'd take the veil off. He was looking into things that were way beyond him. That's what the glory does, by the way. When you get into the glory, you see things to come. The glory shows it. You want to talk about the eye of faith? The eye of faith in the glory is magnified 100 times. Moses was looking into our dispensation. But when he came back, he had to veil it because they were under the law and said, this doesn't belong to you, but I'm seeing something else. It's on my face. It's on my countenance. I'm wearing it. You can wear the glory when you get in it. You can wear your future. Moses was sitting into God, looking and dwelling in a glory that didn't even belong to him. That's what happens. When God sends you a word, the Holy Spirit, he said he will receive of mine, the Holy Spirit. All that the Father has is mine. I have it all sitting in this place of glory. All that I have is here. He's going to take of mine. He's going to go to where you are and show it to you. How does he do that? He's going to bring a dream, a vision, but most of the time he's going to bring a word. Or he's going to bring words. He's going to bring a revelation where you are. It's like, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. And he's going, who, me? Because when God speaks to you where you are, it's totally contrary to where you are. Because he's speaking from that realm. He sees something different. But when he brings it to where you are, it blows you away. A lot of times it's hard to grasp. How can this be? Who, me? Why me? Anybody else but me? I'm not worthy. Why, God? Because you're looking at a word sent to you from glory in the light of your own reasoning faculties. You see that? It's going through your filtration of point A. But God's not interested in point A filtration. He's speaking who you are predefined already from eons ago. When God mapped your life out, He planned your life, He's speaking, He says, now come out from where you are. The way God draws you out from where you are is He brings you a word. If you don't know what to do with that, you're going to sit here for 30 years. And you're going to struggle. And you're going to get beat up. And you'll go to church. And you'll lift your hands. But you don't know how to get out of this position. You're going to have to embrace what He said. Because He spoke it from a realm of glory. You got to move into the kingdom. You got to go down to where He spoke it from. And you got to start dwelling. Dwelling, say dwelling. In the awareness of what God said. You're going to have to agree with what He said. You're not going to be able to sit there and go over and over again. And why not you? Why you? Why not you? All of that. How come me? Everything. No. You have to come into agreement with what God has said. If you don't, you're going to sit there. The way God elevates you is by faith. He draws you out of where you are into where He is. We do this. God, come to me where I am. God, bless me where I am. God, keep me where I am. God, visit me where I am. You see what the problem is here? It's all about me right here. Let me just do what I do, walk in circles. And God, keep blessing me while I walk in circles. And God says, come to where I am. He sends you a word. And you take that word. And you hold that word. And you keep that word. And you practice the awareness of that word. Until you move into that dimension. Because that word is spirit. And that word is life. That word came from the realm of glory. That word came from something that's already been finished. Everything in the right hand of God has been finished. He's already the appointed heir. Amen? He sends that word. Now, how do I receive? Well, if you get under a ministry that understands things about the right hand of God, they can tell you what's up in there. Because if you don't allow the Holy Spirit or somebody who knows what they're talking about has been taught by the Holy Spirit teach you what's there, you're going to live over here all your life. And that's what the church does. They live over here all their life. And when you start talking about this realm, they go, I'm full gospel. Spirit filled, tongue talking. You start talking about the right hand of God and the glory and all that realm, and they're like, I just like my life over here. Everything's really nice over here. I just need a church. That's a nice little social program. Just, what about, I don't understand that place. But with all due respect for them, we got to go in there and get some of the goods out of that place and bring them back and said, this is the fruit of the promised land, by the way. The glory, the right hand of God, where Christ sits, is the promised land. It is singular promise. It is plural promises. It is fullness of all things. Now, you may not see it all there, but it's there. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, as we behold him. Now, he was differentiated. Go over there. I want you to see that. So the Holy Spirit brings that word from all things the Father has are mine. And you take that word in the right hand. That's what we're being taught to do here. Again, listen to this. There are some concepts you're going to have to come into 100% agreement with. You are a joint heir with Christ. What does that mean? You sit where he sits. You have been raised together and made to sit together in heavenly places. You have what he has. You are entitled by inheritance to everything he has. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, all things are yours. Say all things. Whether life, whether things present, whether things to come, whether it's promised land, whether things he inherited, all things are yours. I'm going to say it again. All, turn my mic up. All things are yours. but they're here in the glory. And we as a people must understand how to move in the glory. Everything is in the glory. Your promised land came from the glory. Your future is in the glory. The coming apostolic king priest government, the white horse that runneth, going victorious, conquering to conquer, has been given a crown that's coming from the glory. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, there's the veil upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now verse 18 here. But we all, look at this, we all, with open face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed, look at this, into the same image from glory to glory. You got to get a definition of what is that image. And don't bring that image down to a singular definition. That image is your calling. It is your destiny. That original word was given to man. We said, let us man in our image and have dominion. How about being changed into the image of his dominion? How are you going to do that? You're going to go and behold him. You're going to see with the eye of faith. Listen to me. When we're in this realm, it's just not there. When you get in the glory, it's so rich and so full and so heavy and so glorious. Because you're there with him. Your eyes get magnified. You can see. You can see his fullness. And you go from what? Glory to glory. We don't change from glory to glory here. We go from glory to glory by moving by faith into him. Zechariah 6, I'm going to close here. When I had this encounter a week ago, I didn't understand what the real Lord was saying, but showed me something in the spirit. And he said, the creative realm comes from a place in me. It's a seat. And for like a brief moment, I sat down. I was sitting right here and I sat down in that seat. He just wanted me to know it was there. He said, it's a place in me. And then yesterday, he shows me another place. Now, what I'd say about the glory? The glory is predefined by the word. If you don't get a revelation, you're not going to get what's there. That's why the Holy Spirit's got to bring you the word and he's got to reveal it to you. You can open your book and memorize it all day long, but listen, folks, if we're going to dwell in the heavenly company of saints, Jesus told Nicodemus, he goes, what if I, the Son of Man, ascend up where I was before? Right in front of you. He goes, if I speak to you earthly things and you can't hear, what about if I start talking about heavenly things? Even the ruler of his day didn't understand heavenly things. That's all the Lord did was speak from the heavenly position. That's why you're having such a hard time understanding his word. You can understand certain things like the Beatitudes, but when he gets into the depths of his word, he's speaking from a heavenly position. His words are spirit, they're life. They got to be discerned that way. It's not all about dwelling in the heavens. It's about getting the glory into the earth. That's our mission. Something happened today when I was in worship. I was moved into this seat and there were nations all around. I said, what are these people? He said, these are the people that are going to be one to me in this last generation. I've already inherited them from my father. My father has given them to me. And my last day army is going to go and harvest them before my return. And I was sitting here because I was looking at this, you know, I was looking at where we are. And I'm like, I can't look at where we are. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to sit with you. And I moved in that seat and all of a sudden this vision just, they were everywhere. Like the sea of glass. As far as the eye could see. And it's like we were sitting and they were already there. I said, I don't understand this, Lord. They're not one yet. That's because you don't understand the glory. He goes, I already sit where they are. Just like Moses Moses was looking into something that was far beyond him. And the glory showed up. He goes, I'm already sitting at the finish line of all the nations being inherited. You hadn't even begun to thrust the sickle in yet. But I'm already sitting there. He goes, you're sitting at point A wondering what you're doing. He goes, what I just did is brought you to point B, to sit with me with the nations. He goes, the nations, when he ascended before the Ancient of Days, there was given him a kingdom, nations, and an inheritance. And it was given him a dominion. The nations are his. Positionally, he already sits with every single one that's going to be born again because he's sitting at the finish line. He's speaking. Now he's calling us as intercessors to come sit with him. And I was sitting with the nations this morning. I said, this is glorious. And then the scene changed. I saw nations filling this room up. They were everywhere. I saw hands all over. I'm just trying to tell you, you get in that realm, you see things the way he sees it. You've got to see things the way he sees it. Otherwise, you're going to sit in this realm and wonder, when are you going to ever do anything, God? How come you're doing this, God? God doesn't operate like that. He operates from the finish line. We got to get over there where he is. And all of a sudden, and what the Lord said, he goes, you're sitting in my glory. Right now, he said, you're sitting in the glory of the nations, is what he said. This is my glory. All these people are my glory. They're my inheritance. They're all going to be one. Isn't that glorious? We can sit with him as an intercessor first, and then we can go thrust the sickle in. You can sit over there in the glory. That's who you are. You're a spirit being. Your citizenship is heaven. Now I'm going to close. Now I'm fixing to lay one on you. Zechariah 6. I'm getting multiple revelations of this seat. It's one seat. There's so much there. We can't explore it in a lifetime. Not one person can sit there and get it all. It takes the whole body coming up and get it all. Because there's so much there. And you can't see it when you're in your jurisdiction. You got to be there in front of him to see it. But he lets you see, Father, I will. They behold my glory. He opens it to you and he shows it to you like he does. And it's so glory because it's full of life and it's full of power. I said, everything's there. Our whole future's there. God wants us to live there. Before he wants us there, before there shows up. Because here's what happens when you start sitting here in the nations. Moses, what happened with Moses? He sat in our dispensation. And the glory got on him. And he went back into his realm. He come up out of the temple. And the people saw glory. They saw something that wasn't in their generation. He was clothed with something else from another realm. Because he just got back from another realm. And God said, this is what I want from my sons and daughters in the last days. I want to bring them in and clothe them from another realm. See, the thing is, when you're sitting in this realm thinking that's happened, you're going to get clothed. There's going to be a day you're going to take it back right through the gate. This is what God's going to do in our generation. We keep saying, God, bring your glory, bring your glory, bring your glory, bring your glory. He says, go to where I am. You go get it. Come into this. Let me clothe you and you bring it back. That's how it's coming. That's who we are. I cannot separate that. God said, do not try to build a church just for the sake of building a church. Don't try to make everybody happy with a bunch of programs. Get my glory and everybody will be happy. Let me build the church. This morning I kept saying, I thank you, Father, this church is filled with all good things I didn't feel. It's filled with all good things. And that's when I went into that seat and saw the nations. Don't listen to people that are full of murmuring right now. They'll take your inheritance right from you. Don't listen to people that are full of offense. They will steal your inheritance. You don't know the power of the enemy when it comes to that kind of thing. Listen to truth. Even if it's hard to digest, acclimate to it. That's what climbers do. When they went to Mount Everest, they had to acclimate to the altitudes. You go up, you come back down, you go up, you learn to acclimate to the high altitudes. Let's finish this, Zechariah 6. Now, people, Zechariah 6, verse 10. Take of them of the captivity
And he lists those three names, Heldiah, Tobiah, Jediah, which are come from Babylon. This was a prophetic event, by the way. He says, take silver and gold from Babylon. Take the wealth of Babylon and make crowns and set them upon the head. What he said, make crowns, plural crowns, not singular crown, plural, say plural. And set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehoshadak, the high priest. So what's he doing? He's taking wealth of Babylon. They forge a crown. They take the high priest and they crown the priesthood with a kingly anointing. Now you have to understand something. If you understand the book of Zechariah, he's forging two offices there. He started with Josiah the high priest. He started with him in chapter 3. Chapter 4, Zerubbabel the king. I can't get into that. So listen, Joshua the high priest, they crown him. Speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Behold, the man whose name is the branch will grow up out of his place. He'll build the temple of the Lord. Even he will build the temple of the Lord. He will bear the glory. Look at this. He shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon a king's throne. And the council of peace will be between the two offices. You know, the early church was conceived. The Lamb of God paid the sacrifice and laid the foundation stone. The final church age, the King will arrive. Christ, the King of Kings. He's going to build the final church in a kingly anointing. And the way he's going to do it is he's going to take the priesthood in this hour. He's going to take wealth coming out of Babylon. And he's going to forge a crown with that wealth. And he's going to set that crown upon the priest head globally. He prophesied an event right there that was going to happen. He was going to take a priesthood. And he was going to set a priesthood into a king's throne. He was going to crown them with a kingly anointing. It was going to be the birth of a king-priest government. Revelations 5 says it like this. And I saw upon his head seven crowns, seven horns, and seven eyes. Seven eyes for the priest, seven horns for the king. I saw a king-priest government upon the Lamb's head. And then the elders began to decree, let the kings and priests reign in the earth. That the kings and priests will reign in the earth. Say the kings and priests. God is going to have a reign in this hour like no other hour. The priests of God right now are about to be crowned with the wealth of Babylon. And when he does, it's going to create and initiate the coming king-priest government. It's going to release it. And it's going to transform your life whether you know it or not. Now he brought that to me yesterday. Now you ready? He said, now you know that was a prophetic event. Joshua did that prophetically for another day. Your day. Your generation. He said, enter into that seat. Sit down as a priest and receive what's happening before it happens. God, in this hour, is going to enthrone his priesthood. You're getting positioned. God's going to release Babylonian wealth in this hour to forge crowns for his people. It's going to birth the king-priest government into the earth. God has those who foresees what's happening prophetically. He's going to move you into the position of his glory before it happens.